What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Sorry for our voices. We're sick. We're still sick. I'm still sick. Still getting over stupid pneumonia. But I'm here and I have a new case for you guys today. So strap in because it is a freaking rough one.
All right.
And this was suggested by one of our listeners, Ashley T. So thank you, Ashley, for sending this in. Ashley Wadsworth, a bright-eyed 19-year-old woman from Vernon, British Columbia, embarked on a life-changing journey in 2021 to meet her longtime boyfriend, 23-year-old Jack Seppel, who was from Essex, London.
So they had never met in person?
Met in person, right.
Okay.
The anticipation and eagerness filled her as she envisioned finally meeting Seppel after being in close contact with him since she was 12 years old.
Wow, that's a long time.
I know. Yeah. The two had met in 2015 when Ashley sent Seppel a friend request on Facebook after seeing him on a mutual friend's profile, which is like so wild to me because I'm like, do people do that?
I mean, yeah.
I'm like, I've never, I mean, okay, MySpace days, like, yeah, I'm sure I had some people on there that I had never met that were probably catfishes, honestly, but I don't know. I just felt like Facebook was a different time and a different place, but clearly not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it, like the people who were using it that were the same age as like we were when we were on MySpace.
True.
Probably did stuff like
networking.
That.
Yeah. Well, obviously it did happen because this is what led us to this case. So initially, Ashley and Supple were simply friends, exchanging daily messages and confiding in one another when they were struggling or wanted to share some good news. As their bond grew, young Ashley knew that she needed to share some information about Supple with her family. So, you know, she's young, she's feeling some feelings about this guy, and she was kind of maybe thinking it was getting a little more serious, and she wanted to introduce him, if you will, to her family.
Okay, well, that's good at least.
Yeah. Her mother, Christy, as well as her sister, Haley, and her father, Kenneth, all warned Ashley she needed to be careful. The internet is a scary place, and you can be anybody you want to be on the internet, and people sometimes aren't who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
But after Seppel sent several photos to Ashley proving his identity, they began to feel a little more at ease, which also, like, be careful of that because people can get tons of fake photos. I don't know if you guys listened to the podcast Something Was Wrong, but this new season is, I mean, all the seasons, especially the ones where they cover like a whole, like the whole season is one story, but these catfish people out here, they go to great lengths to hide their identity, and they sometimes have multiple pictures of the same person that they're claiming to be. So
yeah,
don't use that only as your, you know, saving grace, like to feel at ease, because no, people are tricky.
And nowadays you can buy so much stuff.
Yeah. And that, AI.
Yeah. AI now too. That's even worse.
Scarier. Yeah. Christy imagined this newfound friendship would eventually fizzle out, especially considering the 8-hour time difference. But as the months went on, Ashley's mom began to realize things were getting more serious. Ashley would spend several hours a day video chatting with Seppel. And to Christy's surprise, he even began sending Ashley special gifts like jewelry, money, and clothing.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So what once was a budding friendship was now kind of turning into a full-blown long-distance relationship.
All right.
In October of 2018, 3 years into their friendship / relationship, Seppel decided to express his deep devotion to Ashley by getting her name tattooed on his arm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a red flag, in my opinion, because you haven't met this person. And, you know, to be on his side for a second, like, she might not be who she says she is. You know, obviously they video chatted and stuff at this point, but it just seems like an extreme, extreme measure.
It does. And it almost seems like you're trying to, like, reel her in by doing that.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Ashley's friends and family thought. And they were very concerned. They felt uneasy about this gesture, and they worried that it might signify possessiveness on Supple's part, which I agree.
Yeah.
Around this time, Ashley began persistently asking her parents if she could visit Supple in the UK. And of course, their answer was a firm no, because she was only 16 at this time. So they were like, hell to the nah, you ain't going nowhere with nobody. And I mean, that's rational, I think, you know.
Yeah.
As time passed, Seppel's possessiveness towards Ashley intensified. He was consumed by jealousy towards her busy social life, and he resorted to frequently monitoring her social media accounts and scrutinizing her friends.
Ooh, okay, that's not good.
Despite his own romantic pursuits in the dating scene in his own town, he was constantly accusing Ashley of being involved with other guys. And as a result, they would frequently break up, get back together, so forth and so on.
Okay.
Those around Ashley observed that their relationship was becoming more toxic and volatile, and this caused concern for those who cared about Ashley. You know, they saw that this was being a very becoming a very controlling relationship, and she's a 16-year-old girl, and this guy lives halfway around the continent. You know,
yeah,
it's just
they haven't even met in person, and if he's already becoming controlling, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah. As soon as Ashley was legally able to begin work, she started saving money. She worked at McDonald's, Burger King, Home Depot, a Chinese restaurant called Asian Avenue, and a clothing store named Red Bag. And working all these jobs allowed her to save a significant amount of money over time. In 2020, Ashley completed high school. She had completed high school, but she chose to postpone her enrollment at Thompson Rivers University. And this was mainly due to, you know, the pandemic had broken out, classes were moving online. She really wanted to experience college in the traditional way, and she just felt like she didn't want to start her college career going to school online. So
that's fair.
She decided that this was the perfect opportunity for her to travel to the UK to finally meet Seppel in person.
It's so frustrating because it's like, she's an adult. She can do what she wants. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because this is a true crime podcast, we know the not good outcome that this is likely going to face. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that makes sense. She's saved up money. She's been with this guy, you know, virtually for so long. She's postponing college because of the pandemic. Like, it, I understand why she wanted to go do that.
And she probably thought, like, oh, all this is aligning perfectly. Like, this is the time. Right. It's meant to be, you know, when you're 19 and you're in love and the pieces fall into place, it just makes sense. So you go with it. And under any other circumstances, I would say, great, do your thing, live your life, you know. But like you said, this is a true crime podcast, and what's about to happen is not great or living your best life.
Yeah, and like, of course, hindsight is always 20/20. Mm-hmm. We see it, and we're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that. But like, how many of us probably would have done something like this?
Yeah.
Honestly, when I was 18 and in love, I very well might have done something like this.
Yep. Because you think, what's the worst that can happen? Okay, we meet, we hate each other, we break up, I come home.
Yeah, exactly.
So in 2021, when Ashley told her mother, Christy, she wanted to move to the UK to be with Sepple, Christy knew there was no telling her grown-up daughter no. So Christy said about Ashley that she was somewhat of a human spitfire, stating, quote, she was amazing, she was inquisitive, she was adventurous, and there was no stopping her. But having that mother's intuition, Christy could not shake off the worry that lingered in her mind. But like we just mentioned, she managed to reassure herself with the thought of the worst case scenario being that Ashley would reach Essex, experience issues with Sepple's Sepple's relationship, and then would just come home safe and sound.
Yeah.
Christy never anticipated the nightmare that her daughter would actually endure. Ashley was able to obtain a 6-month tourist visa to travel to the UK, and in November of 2021, she left the only home she'd ever known.
I'm so, obviously I know something bad is going to happen, but I'm so,
hopeful.
Anxious, yeah.
Yeah. When she arrived in London, Ashley instantly began posting photos to her social media accounts of herself and Sepple, highlighting their adventures, exploring all the tourist hotspots of London. The snapshots captured their smiling faces with their arms affectionately intertwined around each other, painting a picture-perfect happy couple. They even got a kitten and him Winston. So, yeah, they're just, moving real fast. But also, at the same time, they've been together since she was 12. I mean, that's, 7 years with somebody?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very long time, even to have an online relationship with someone. That's a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
When Ashley would FaceTime her family back home, she always had a cheery smile on her face. Sepple also appeared in some of the videos with her family, and he seemed in high spirits. He seemed like he was happy, that she was there.
Okay, so everything seemed fine.
Yeah. As the weeks turned into months, a noticeable shift unfolded in their relationship. Ashley realized that Sepple had no social life, or any friends at all for that matter, and he was estranged from most of his family. So, from what I can tell, he had a sister that he didn't really have a lot of contact with. He had a brother that he was completely estranged from. His mother, things were very shaky. And his father had actually passed away. So he didn't really have anybody close to him.
Okay.
And Ashley, I guess, didn't really have that full picture painted until she actually got to the UK.
Because he probably could have, come up with that, or they didn't talk about that, or, things like that.
Downplay it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what once was an adventurous life together soon became strained when all Sepple wanted to do was stay home, get high, and play video games. That was kind of his life in a nutshell.
Okay.
And she's a 19-year-old girl. She wants to go out. She wants to have fun. She wants to see the sights. She wants to show off her relationship with her man, And yeah. He's just like, nope, let's just be homebodies, which is fine sometimes, but...
Yeah.
Not to this extreme.
No.
Sepple began showing his more controlling side again, and he would not allow Ashley the freedom to make plans as she wished, disapproving of her desire to attend church, even.
Okay, come on.
And yeah, this was big for Ashley because she had recently developed a interest in religion and had decided to be baptized into the Mormon church. So before she even left Canada, she had joined the Mormon church and had become, involved in that. Even though her family wasn't really religious, they weren't Mormon, but that was just where she felt drawn to. So when she moved to Essex, she knew that there was a Mormon church nearby, and she was excited about joining it and meeting friends.
Interesting.
And he kind of put all of that to a halt. Right.
Okay.
And then the physical abuse started happening.
Oh, no.
Sepple confided in his mother that on Boxing Day, he had gotten into a disagreement with Ashley and slapped her after discovering she had two blocked British numbers on her phone, which he, of course, assumed had to belong to other guys. You know, there's no other rational explanation. They had to belong to other guys trying to get with his girlfriend.
Right. It couldn't be a scam number or...
Right. That's what I said. I was
there's
like,
all kinds of explanations.
I have I don't even want to know how many block numbers I have in my phone. And I don't know if the UK, they get scammed and spammed with phone numbers as much as we do here in the States. But yeah, I block numbers all the time because they're scams.
Yeah. And, you know, even if it was guys, like, she's not going out with them.
Yeah. Like, she's blocking their number.
Come on. Oh, I assumed block number meant like a anonymous number. That she blocked it, but that it was like
I assumed it was
caller.
She had blocked them, but maybe it is that. Maybe they were calling from like private numbers or whatever. Is that what you mean? Like a private number?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like one that the phone number doesn't come up on, like, you know, it just says like unknown.
But either way, it's irrational. Irrational.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So Sepple had this habit with his previous relationships where he would threaten self-harm in order to get them to kind of do what he wanted them to do or feel guilty for doing something they didn't do or did do. And he began
to somebody.
He began doing this to Ashley. And Ashley, though, she was a very smart girl, like I mentioned previously, and she began documenting her abuse and storing the images away in a private folder.
Wow.
I know. She's only 19 years old. Like, you should not have to be doing this ever.
No.
But at 19 years old, like, no.
No. And then that, like, shows that she obviously knew that, like, this wasn't okay.
Yeah.
But she was trapped in it.
Yeah, she endured it. I mean, she just kept enduring it, sadly. Because you always hold on to that hope, like, I can fix him. Or what's the Taylor Swift song? I can change him. No, really, I can.
I can fix him. No, really, I can.
Yeah. Because that's what I mean.
It is. And when you're, like, in love, you kind of look past all that type of stuff.
Right, because you're willing to do anything for them, aka stay in an abusive relationship. So you assume they're willing to do anything for you, i.e. Mm-hmm. change for the relationship. And that is not always the reality.
No.
In December of 2021, Sepple tried to take his own life by ingesting too much of his anti-anxiety medicine. This forced Ashley to call an ambulance, and Sepple was taken to the hospital for treatment. Ashley willingly became responsible for giving Sepple his medication safely.
Okay.
Despite keeping the situation a secret, her sister Haley accidentally revealed it to their mom, Christy. And they were both incredibly concerned and wanted Ashley to come home. But Ashley insisted she was going to stay and was determined to help Sepple get better, which adds a whole other level to this because, especially as a compassionate person, as an empathetic person, you don't want to just abandon somebody when they're at their lowest.
Yeah.
And that's, she felt like he had no one else. He had no one else.
Right.
So it was her quote unquote duty or job to help him get better. Unfortunately, this was not the last time that Haley would have to worry about her sister. there were several other incidences where she says that she firsthand witnessed Seppel abusing Ashley while they were on FaceTime calls. Each time, Haley insisted that Ashley should return home, but each time, Ashley endured. And they were violent. Like, there was one where she said that he broke a glass, like a cup, over Ashley's head.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he was so angry. Yeah.
Jeez.
Seppel displayed invasive behavior by repeatedly intruding on Ashley's privacy. He was constantly going through her phone and social media accounts. And his actions escalated to the point where he accessed her social media accounts and deleted all of her individual photos and added ones that only included him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's like sending a message like, this is mine, back off.
Yeah.
And that is terrifying. On the morning of February 1st, 2022, Seppel once again rifled through Ashley's phone, determined to uncover any incriminating evidence he could use against her. As the situation intensified, the neighbors would later report hearing them arguing and Ashley scream. Moments later, one of the neighbors, Helen Burtonshaw, saw Ashley emerge from their flat, barefoot, with a bloodied hand. When Helen asked Ashley what happened, she said Seppel had struck her, smashed her phone, and trigger warning for animal abuse, had even thrown their kitten Winston against the wall.
Oh my God.
Ashley told Helen she was afraid he was going to kill her, but insisted Helen not call the police. In an attempt to defuse the situation, Helen went to the door to speak to Seppel herself. And he told her, yes, things had gone too far, and that he was sorry. Helen tried to insist that Ashley not go back to the flat and instead go with her to an appointment, but Ashley sadly refused.
Mm-mm.
She went back home and used Seppel's phone to call her family. Despite it being around midnight back in Vernon, British Columbia, her mother answered the phone. And she grew increasingly concerned as Ashley confessed that she wanted to come home.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine how helpless. Your daughter is, I don't even know how many miles away, but so many miles away, and there's nothing you can do.
That's so scary.
I know. Christy advised Ashley to book a flight home, and sadly, the soonest flight was in 2 days.
Oh, man.
But Seppel assured Christy that he would drive Ashley to the airport and get her home.
Of course he did.
Yeah. But this assurance was a lie, and the situation only further escalated. Sometime between 11:20 a.m. and 12:40 p.m., Ashley began frantically messaging her friends, both local and in Vernon, using Seppel's phone. She told them that Seppel did not want her to leave. Regrettably, no one received the messages until it was far too late. Around 12:45 p.m., Seppel attacked Ashley for the final time, strangling her and then grabbing a knife and stabbing her over 90 times in the chest.
Oh my gosh.
And it was later reported that many of those stab wounds, like, punctured her spine. That's how violent they were.
Jeez.
Seppel then left Ashley's body in his bed and went on with his daily activities.
Wow, the fact that he could so violently do something like that and then just
go on about his day.
Go on with his day. Yeah.
Sickening. Yeah, sickening. When Ashley's family awoke the following morning, they frantically began trying to reach her, seeing that they had missed so many of her texts for help. And when they were unable to do so, they reached out to two of her friends that she had met through the Mormon church and asked them if they would go to the flat to check on Ashley. When Seppel would not allow them to come in, they called 999. Around 4 p.m., Seppel FaceTimed his sister, Nadia, and confessed what he had done. And he even showed her Ashley's body.
Oh my God.
Which is like, what the fuck? Why? Like, so.
People, like, how can you do something like that?
Sick. I mean, he's very, obviously very, very sick in the head.
Yeah.
And it was at this exact moment that police were forcing their way into his home. When they gained entry into Seppel's flat, they found Seppel lying in a pool of blood in the bed next to Ashley's body.
Oh, geez.
He told the police, quote, "I went psychotic. I'm sorry. I strangled her and stabbed her."
Oh my gosh.
As they searched the flat, they took into evidence Seppel's phone, which had his recorded confession on it.
Okay.
In the video, Seppel is seen covered in Ashley's blood after the brutal attack, apologizing for what he had done, and you can clearly see Ashley's body in the background.
Oh my God.
Essex police also discovered blood on Seppel's game console, indicating that he was playing video games after he murdered her.
Again, how can you just go about your life after doing something like that?
I do not know. I literally do not know. They were also able to recover the murder weapon, which was a kitchen knife that Seppel had discarded behind a radiator pipe in his living room.
Well, at least he didn't, like, run or something and, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to be found. Like, they clearly knew he did it right away.
Right. Yeah. That is definitely the silver lining of this. During his trial, which began in September of 2022, the court uncovered that Seppel had almost 8 previous domestic violence convictions for 12 offenses, along with several restraining orders.
I have no words. What?
His own freaking mother, Tracy Dalton, even had a restraining order against him due to damages that he had inflicted on her car, including 3 broken windows and marred doors.
Oh my gosh.
And that restraining order was issued by the Essex Magistrate Court in 2018. So this was not that, you know, not that far in the past.
Wow.
In 2020, Seppel had been charged with false imprisonment, common assault, and coercive or controlling behavior. But because the victim did not attend the trial to provide evidence, he was never fucking convicted.
Oh, my God.
This is sick. This is unacceptable.
Yeah, why is this happening? Like, people should not be getting off this easily.
No, you're a repeat offender. What do we say about repeat offenders? They need to stay their ass in jail.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. The Honorable Mr. Justice Murray commented during the trial that Ashley's death was a, quote, brutal and cowardly attack, shedding light on Seppel's extensive history of violent and controlling behaviors towards women. The judge highlighted Ashley's profound impact and the deep affection her family, particularly, her mother, father, sister, and niece held for her. And in October of 2022, Seppel was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 23 years and 6 months, which is not enough.
No, not at all.
I mean,
like, that's it after this violent murder. And then you have all of these previous domestic violence, whatever, convictions or charges or whatever.
Yeah.
And so clearly you're going to be a repeat offender. And then you escalate and commit this violent murder and then just, like, live your life afterwards. Yeah. for a little while before you're caught. And that's all you get?
That's all you get. And so you get to these women, like there was two cases, and I didn't like go into all the details, obviously, of all the things that he did to these women, but there were like two former girlfriends. He literally held them in his home and would not let them leave and was violent towards them.
And so why was he not in jail?
He got no fucking punishment. None.
Jeez.
What kind of message does that send to other violent offenders? Yeah. Do it again. You're not going to get in trouble. Go ahead. Yeah. Have fun.
You'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you get disgusting. Off with a slap on the wrist. Like,
yeah. If you're lucky, you'll get a slap on the wrist. If you're even luckier, you'll get nothing. You'll just get shooed away. Bye-bye. Yeah. It's disgusting. And then he gets to get out in 23 years and 6 months, which makes him what? 47? 48? So he could go on to hurt many more people, have children, God forbid. I mean, he can live his best little life after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing. That's no age. That's plenty of years.
No, that's nothing.
Do more harm.
Yeah.
Today, Ashley's sister Haley is advocating for change in UK law that would simplify the process of accessing information about an individual's past criminal convictions.
That's awesome.
So Haley basically is saying, like, it's important that people should be able to search criminal records like they do here in the States, like they do in Canada. Yeah. And they don't have that in the UK. So had that been the case with Supple, and had they been able to uncover this extensive criminal record through a, you know, routine background check.
Right.
It's very possible that Ashley may still be alive today. You know, yeah. We don't know that for sure. Cause like, you know, love makes you stupid and maybe you'll just be like, oh, he's not like that anymore. And still would have went and this all still could have happened, but she wasn't even given a chance, you know?
Yeah.
Because they did. They tried to look up stuff about him and figure out who this man was. Like, where, you know, was she going to be safe? They never, ever thought it would be this extreme. But you do worry. I mean, it's just human nature.
Yeah.
So hopefully more people will vote. If you're local, vote for that. If that becomes a thing to be able to vote for, get that. So you can keep yourself safe in your own country, in your own area.
Yeah.
Ashley was known for her vibrant personality and diverse range of interests, excelling in tennis, ringette, art, and the clarinet. She also found joy in camping, hiking with friends, and off-roading adventures. Her warm and welcoming nature extended to international students at school, ensuring they never felt the sting of loneliness in a foreign land. Despite enduring that heartbreak herself, Ashley's compassion and empathy shone through, leaving a lasting impact on those she touched. Ashley's memory is certain to live on among many as a testament to the light she brought into the world. One can only hope that justice prevails and Supple remains incarcerated, never to be granted parole.
Yeah, and he never deserves to get out. Ever.
No. I think if you take someone's life.
Yeah.
Unless you're a child, because I feel like that's kind of a gray area. But if you take someone's life, you don't get to get yours back.
No.
That's not fair.
No, because she didn't get to live her life. So why do you get to live your life?
Yeah. An eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm. That's so frustrating, but it's amazing that Haley is advocating for change in honor of Ashley. Like, that's incredible, and hopefully there will be a difference that's made.
Yeah, I hope there is a day where that should just be a basic right to be able to access someone's criminal record. Because when you become a criminal, especially in a violent crime like this, you don't really deserve that right to have your like your business private.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You
like,
lose the right to privacy when you do something like
that. I wouldn't even expect that if I was a criminal, you know? If I committed atrocities like this, like I would be like, okay, I deserve to have people be able to look up my shit and see that I was this terrible shitbag of a person.
Yeah.
So I really hope that these laws come into effect and that, you know, you guys have that basic right to be able to do that.
That should be for everyone.
Because Ashley did not deserve this in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, if nothing else comes out of this horrible tragedy, I hope that that is the silver lining and that is the light that comes out of this case.
Yeah.
But that is all I have for you guys today on the very sad, tragic death of Ashley Wadsworth. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will have a brand new case for you guys sometime next week. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.